Second Timothy. Alrighty. Second Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Could you do that? Could you honestly say to people that you're promised to pray for, could you actually say that I pray that I have a pure conscience and without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day? He put that in the Bible. God put that in the Bible, so you know it's true, don't you? We believe the Bible here, right? And so he's saying, and this isn't even the preaching, this is free. And this is he's saying that I remember you day and night. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be faithful in prayer like that? Boy, that ought to be the way we ought to strive to be. I want to be a prayer like that. You don't have to be a great prayer. You don't have to be somebody that can stand up and say great flowery words or anything like that. We just need to be consistent and faithful prayers. Amen. I mean, God, that just kind of leapt off the page at me. I thought I'd share it. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know, Jesus has already abolished death, so if you die and go to hell, it's not on him, it's on you. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he might find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God that we've just read today. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me to just set myself aside and preach the Word faithfully. Lord, I just pray you'd help me to be clear and straightforward. Father, if there's somebody listening today, whether here in the church house or out on the internet or whatever the case may be, I just pray for each person, Lord. You know who was going to be here, and you know that there's a divine appointment today for each one of us. And Lord, we just pray that you'd Help us to see what we need to see. Help me to be the blessing that I'm desiring to be. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to realize that we don't have to live in fear. Lord, we just pray you'd bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to call your attention to one particular verse. We're going to kind of dance around it for a while. When we talk about it, we're going to look at several other verses in this chapter as well. But I want you to look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, excuse me, and of love, and of a sound mind. You know, we've been talking an awful lot about being filled with the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. We've been going through a long study on that. And there's one thing that's clear about the Bible when the Bible talks about the Spirit of God. And he's not a spirit of fear. He is a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You get me a bunch of people acting out of their head and calling it the Holy Ghost, that's a lie. You get a bunch of people that are into a bunch of foolishness and calling it the Holy Ghost, that's not true. But I'll tell you, in this day and age, especially in our culture, we have a fear-filled culture today. You know, the Bible talks about a time when men's heart will fail them because of fear. And I look at what's going on in the world and I look at the things that are going, I see we're rapidly headed to that point. I mean, think about it. If you look at the things that are in the culture today, if you look at our news media and everything they do, you know, they don't spend a lot of time talking about things that are good. They spend their time doing more fear-mongering than anything else. And that's a fact. I cannot tell you the number of people who I've talked to that are just terrified of what's going to happen, and they spend all their time looking at the news and they talk about it all the time, and they'll sit there, did you hear what was on the news? And, oh, what do you think's going to happen, preacher? And what are we going to do, preacher? And I get that all the time. And I've been getting it for as long as I've been a pastor. But you know what? I'm getting a whole lot more now. And that's a shame. And you look at the way our culture is today, and especially there's this driving push to have fear be the motivator for people's behavior. Look at what they did during COVID, and look at all the threats they leveled, especially against churches that wanted to stay open. I believe it's Jack Treiber up in, I think, North Valley Baptist Church in California. I think he's in Santa Clara area up there. They fined him hundreds of thousands of dollars just for opening the doors of his church. And they're still fighting that. Of course, we had folks over in Goshen. They tried to intimidate the folks in Goshen to not have church. And then, you know, we were blessed. We kept the doors open. And we put a sign on there saying why we were going to stay open. And nobody bothered us. So praise the Lord for that. But boy, there was a lot of push by the government and a lot of threats by the government, wasn't there, during that time? And then if you don't believe the narrative that the world wants you to believe, they have now what's called cancel culture. If you say something we don't like, we're going to make sure you're canceled. We're going to run your name through the mud. We're going to make it where you're a pariah. You're just hated by everybody. And you see people get out there and say something and there's a big outcry and uproar about it, and the news media jumps in it and they just keep running it and running it. And then you see these people, especially these celebrities and sports figures and all these people that the world worships, right? And they'll get up there and they'll come up with their tail tucked between their legs and issue an apology. And then you know what? They're still treated like dirt. Because the devil's crowd does not forgive. I mean, they've even gone back into people's things people said 20 years ago and said, oh, 20 years ago he said this and we're going to destroy him because of something he said 20 years ago. There's a big uproar now because the governor of Mississippi mentioned something about the Confederate Memorial Day. Let me ask you an honest question. Why shouldn't people that are descendants of other people, why shouldn't they honor their ancestors? Doesn't mean they agree with everything their ancestors did. But the simple fact is, oh, we can't even speak of it anymore. No wonder. And the devil's happy with that because we just forget things and make the same stupid mistakes over and over again. We sit there and we fought totalitarianism with the slave trade, and we fought totalitarianism with the British monarchy, and we fought totalitarianism with the communists and everybody else, and we want to stand up and say we're a beacon and we're headed to be a totalitarian nation. That's where we're headed. And most of it's being done by fear. And the devil works by fear. And so, Brother Paul is talking to a young preacher that he's ordained, that he had a part in ordaining, and he's telling him, he says, wherefore, in verse 6, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He said, we put our hands on you. We recognize God's call on your life. We recognize the gifts that God has given you. And you need to stir up that gift. And he said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Then he says, be not thou ashamed, therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Notice what he's telling this young preacher. He's saying, don't be afraid. Stir up that gift in you. Don't be ashamed. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We ought to be able to, we have the power to overcome our fears. We have the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And the Bible says, perfect love casteth out fear, doesn't it? And we have a spirit of a sound mind where we can look at things and see it as it actually is. We're not blinded anymore. And he says, so don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoners. He goes on and he gives him examples. He talks about me. He says, he talks about himself. He says in verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He said, you know, in verse 15, he said, you know, he said, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. You know, you've seen the people that have quit. You've seen the people that got afraid. You've seen the people that gave up on me, that turned away from me. Yeah. But he said, you know, there's somebody there that in the midst of all that, he didn't quit. He said, the Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. For he oft refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chain. In other words, people say to him, why are you going to go there? You might end up in jail too. Why are you going talking to Paul? Why? Get away from him. You're going to end up in jail just like him. He said, well, he said, I don't know, maybe he quoted Matthew 25. I was in prison and you visited me. Huh? But who knows what he did, but he said when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. I was in jail and he came and found me. And he said, you remember also how many things he ministered to me at Ephesus when we were there at Ephesus. You know what type of man he was then. So he gives him examples of people that were unashamed and unafraid. And I think we need to revisit and relearn this because, like I said, in this culture there is a push and a concerted effort to make people afraid. People won't be afraid. What's gonna happen tomorrow? What's the government gonna do? What's it gonna do? I don't know what they're gonna do, but that doesn't mean we need to be afraid of it. I mean, is there going to be a persecution in the United States? We're listening to testimonies of persecutions in different places of the world. And a fellow that had to leave a country for a while because they were going to try to kill him, and all the different things that we've heard in the testimonies today that we had. And we don't have that problem here now. We may. If things continue the way they are, we will. That doesn't mean we need to be afraid. People get afraid of all types of things. We fear our inadequacy. We fear our failures. We fear everything. You know, we get to the point to where we're afraid to tell somebody about Jesus because, like Brother Henry was talking about, our conversation, it isn't quite the way it should be, and we're not the Christian we ought to be, and everything like that. We're afraid because we know our conversation, our lifestyle, the way we live, isn't exactly what it ought to be, and so we get lockjaw. We won't tell anybody about Jesus. We know we're saved, but because of our failure, we don't want to tell anybody else because we're afraid. You know, when I got saved, one of the people that witnessed to me was a dumb old boy out of Georgia. And he just got saved. Matter of fact, I can go back to that, to a guy when I was working, one of my drinking buddies, when we were working construction together, even before I went in the Navy, he left to go get married, came back and was saved. And I tormented him mercilessly and mocked him. I even got him so mad one time he swung an I-beam, a 12-inch I-beam around. We were loading him up on a flatbed, and we were up there, and he had one end and I had the other, and he just got so mad and frustrated with me that he swung that thing around and almost took my head off. And I jumped off the flatbed and started calling him crazy and everything like that, but you know, it always stuck with me. It stuck with me. He was unashamed of his testimony. And then I got in the Navy, and they put me there as a welding on the ship while the ship was in the shipyard. And they put me there, and they put this old boy from Georgia, old big old snuff-dipping fella. He just got saved. God hadn't dealt with him about tobacco or anything like that, or bad habits or anything like that. All that man knew was, I got saved. Jesus died for me. He rose from the dead. I'm not going to hell. And every day I'd come in liquored up and bleary-eyed, and he'd tell me, man, you better quit that. You need to get saved. If you don't trust Jesus as your Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. I listened to him for months. I'd be like, shut up and give me a dip of snuff. But he was unashamed. That's the way we are. I mean, we make all kind of excuses by our conversation because we're fearful. And if we just yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, He would take care of those little problems in our life, but we'd also have power and love and a sound mind. We'd have what we need. We could get over the fear. And I want you to think about that when you talk about fear. Fear is a damaging thing for both a believer and an unbeliever. Fear is an enemy to our souls. Amen. Fear is an enemy to your testimony. Fear is an enemy to all those things. Look at Brother Elijah. You go back even in the Old Testament. You look at Brother Elijah, and here he is. He's come up and he's stood before Ahab, right? And he stands before 413 or 450, 400 some odd prophets, 400 prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. I'm not sure. I had to go back and reread it of how many were there. But he's there and he mocks them and he stands up and he calls down fire from heaven. And then he bows his head and calls for rain, and here comes the rain. And he's filled with passion and the Spirit of the Lord, and he runs down all the way to Jezreel from Mount Carmel, down to Jezreel. He runs and he outruns Ahab's chariots. And then he's afraid of a woman. Jezebel comes out and says, your life's going to be just like theirs. If God do so do to me and more, if your life is not like one of theirs by tomorrow this time. And he's sitting there and he's just won a great victory, and all of a sudden he feels all alone. And so he runs. God meets him there. God takes care of him. Then God tells him he's to go out to anoint a new king in Syria and Israel. And by the way, we're going to anoint your replacement too while we're at it. But he runs away after a great victory like that, something that all of us, we'd all be shouting about. All the people turned back and they finally were willing to confess that the Lord was God. But now he's sitting there and he's running away scared. Fear will do that to you. And you and I, we have to deal with this issue. Fear is normal in the sense of it's a normal emotion. But you've heard me talk a lot about the things that a lot of people are doing today, and emotion's a good thing. There's a proper a use for every emotion that God gives us. But emotion is not to be the basis by which we make decisions in our life. Emotion is not to be the basis by how we live, and yet that's the way we are. And so often we get afraid and we respond to the fear instead of the truth. And it destroys our testimony. And these people that I was talking about in my life, they weren't what you call the most upright and perfect Christians you'd ever see. The ones that I just mentioned, they were just got saved. They didn't know enough to be afraid. They were still happy they were saved. I mean, you could have told them that a meteor was coming and was going to hit the earth and extinguish all life, isn't it? That type of stuff. You ever notice that even the science comes up and says stuff like that? Oh, we're worried about this asteroid's going to hit the earth. Well, if it hits the earth, guess what? They would have said, well, praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven. And they weren't afraid. They weren't ashamed. Jesus had to deal with the disciples, didn't he? When they all sat down and they said, "We believe you're the Messiah. We believe you're the Savior of the world." Then they got in the boat and the wind started blowing. And the Lord is over there sleeping in the front of the boat. And they come up and said, "Lord, carest thou not that we perish?" And what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26? He said, "He saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Fear is the enemy of faith, by the way. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. You know, if they had believed that he was the Messiah and that he was going to be the Savior of the world, they shouldn't have been afraid that they were going to perish there. I don't know, maybe they thought, well, he'll make it, but we won't. Who knows what they thought, but they were fearful, weren't they? It was fear. We got to get to the point where we don't live our lives by fear. People that are led by the Spirit aren't fearful. I just want you to think about that. Fear can ruin the life of a Christian. But I'll tell you one thing for certain, it's even far more devastating in the life of a lost person. And that's the way the devil rules. He wants everybody to be afraid. He wants everybody to live in fear. He wants Christians not to be willing to testify of the gospel of the grace of God, not testify of the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He wants us to keep our mouths shut because he wants the world to live in fear. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The first people that are mentioned as the people that are going to be in hell are the fearful. People that are filled with fear. And in this case, I believe a very specific fear. But what are they afraid of? They're afraid of men. The Bible says the fear in Proverbs 29, verse 25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." And he says the fearful are going to go to hell. People are going to go to hell because they are afraid to get saved. If you don't believe that, look at what... Remember the man that was born blind in John chapter 9? And Jesus healed him, right? And everybody, he kept asking him, "Who opened your eyes?" And he told him, "Well, I told you already, Jesus did it." And so he called his parents up there. And they said, "Is this your son, whom ye say were born blind? How does he now? How come he can see now?" They said, and he, they said, well, he's of age. He said, this is our son. We know that he was born blind, but how he seeth, we know not. Ask him. He's of age. And he said, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him because of the Pharisees, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You can go to John chapter 3. Nicodemus came to Jesus, right? How'd he come? By night. Didn't want anybody to see, did he? John chapter 7, verse 13. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. John 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. There were people that were secretly believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They could see that he fulfilled the word of God before their very eyes. The word of God was being played out before their very eyes. All the way to even the words he said on Calvary's cross when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When he said that, it was being played out before their very eyes. They heard of his resurrection, but they were still afraid. They heard, they knew the scriptures, but they wouldn't confess him. Brother Henry, when he was talking, sharing his testimony this morning, he went to Romans chapter 10, didn't he? And he said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's a people that will believe the truth. They believe it's a fact, but they don't believe it enough to believe that God's grace is sufficient to get them over their fears, and they're afraid what men are going to do. They value the opinion of men over the opinion of God. And therefore, there will be people who know how to get saved, but will die and go to hell because they are fearful. They're afraid. Even the disciples before Jesus was risen from the dead, John chapter 20, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. I'll tell you what, until the Holy Spirit came, people were afraid. God's people were afraid. Peter denied him. They quit and went fishing. Jesus had to meet him on the seashore, didn't he? He had to go get him. But then when the Holy Spirit came, it was different, wasn't it? When the Holy Spirit, when the fullness of the Spirit came, and don't get me wrong, when Jesus was risen from the dead and he came to them and said, and breathed on them, went, said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost. He wasn't lying. But they were filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And when they were filled with the Spirit, they spake the Word of God with boldness, didn't they? It was different then, wasn't it? And I want to say to you today that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And whatever it is that God tells us to do, we need to just simply believe God. Don't be afraid. How many times throughout the Bible did God say, fear not, fear not, fear not? In fact, the only one we're supposed to fear is God, and that's not abject terror. That's reverence. That's being in awe of the mercy and the love of our God. Now, if you die and go to hell, you're going to be an abject terror of him. But we have a world that is dying and going to hell, and many people who know the gospel, they know the gospel, and they're still going to die and go to hell. They know how to be saved, but they won't be saved because they're afraid. I've known of people, and I've counseled people that you talk to them, and I've talked to people before that, by the mercy of God, may have been churchgoers all their life, and they finally came forward and got saved. And you say, why did you wait so long? Did you not just understand the gospel? What was the problem? And you know what the answer I hear a lot of times is? I was afraid of what people would say. I made a profession of faith, and I went through the motions, and I knew I wasn't saved, and yet I knew I needed to get saved. But I was afraid what other people would think of me. It's not just the lost that have the fear of man, is it? It's not just, when I say lost, it's not just the people outside the church that are lost that have the fear of man. It's the folks inside the church that have the fear of man. I mean, we have to understand that there is fear. And so if you're truly born again today, if you're truly a child of God, if you know that you're saved, if you know the Spirit of God dwells in you, it is imperative that we are not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, that we're not ashamed to be associated with those who are Spirit-filled, that walk with God, that are unashamed to preach the gospel openly, that we ought to be that type of people, because there's no other way for those people to see that fear can be overcome unless they see believers. It goes down again, brother, like you were talking about, conversation, doesn't it? Being willing to tell the world that you're a Christian. Being willing to testify. You know, we baptize people as a public profession of faith, don't we? That's part of the picture. It pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection of life. A resurrection unto eternal life. And the resurrection of our Lord. It pictures our leaving the old life and of service to the flesh and to the world and to the devil, and now being raised to walk in newness of life to serve God. It shows us all those things. But that's just the beginning part, isn't it? And the devil does everything he can. He wants us to be afraid. What are you afraid of today? What is the worst that could happen to you by openly professing and being quite loud and proud and happy, not proud in a worldly sense, but willing to tell people you're a Christian and let everybody know? What's the worst they could do to you? Worst they could do is kill your body. And then you go to heaven, right? And you might say, oh, I sure would hate the pain. I'll tell you, by the time, the Bible says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Well, I'm just saying, we need to get over fear. And if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you have dwelling within you what you need to get over any fear that you may have. And it's imperative that we do, because there are people out there that are afraid to get saved. And they need to see that the power of God is sufficient. They need to see that God hasn't given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. They need to see a testimony, don't they? And you know what they see most of the time? They see a bunch of mealy-mouthed preachers on TV. Who somebody comes up and says something to them, do you believe Jesus is really the only way? And they hem and they haw and they say, well, I believe that Jesus is the only way for me. No, he's the only way for everybody. Or they say, well, I'm not God, I can't judge. I agree, you can't judge, but I don't have to worry about it. He's already given the judgment, hadn't he? He that believeth on the Son of God hath life. He that believeth not in God hath not. He said, the wrath of God abideth on him. We don't have to be we don't have to be ugly or rude or unkind, but we ought to be honest and we ought to be fearless. There's a lot of things that happened, and I don't set a whole lot of store by Martin Luther, other than the fact that he at least brought back and introduced during the Reformation time. He at least, being a Catholic, he brought back the idea and finally bought into the idea and was willing to talk about it. The idea of salvation by grace through faith, and not by works. But you know, when they brought him up on charges the first day that he was there, he was timid. They said you could barely hear him speak. He was so intimidated by that Inquisition council that he was brought up on. And when he stood in front of them, and of course everybody in history remembers his great "Here I stand" speech, right? But if you go back and you go into the time that he was there, that first day when he was speaking, the records say you could scarce hear his voice. And the records say the next night, that night he spent in the prison, people could hear him praying. And the next day he was bold as a lion. What's the difference? I'm just simply saying, you know, we look back at people in history and we look at, oh, look at those people. Look at what great things God did. Same spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit as they had. The one dwells in you if you're saved. Why should we be afraid? Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Not going to be afraid of what men do. Beloved, we do not have to live in fear. And if you're here today and you're not saved and you're afraid of what everybody else is going to say, I want to tell you this now. There are going to be people that are going to die and go to hell because they're afraid of what other folks are going to say. They're afraid of men. They're afraid of what their family is going to say. They're afraid of what everybody else. And the only thing you need to realize is that one day you're going to stand accountable to God for your sins. And nobody that you're afraid of will ever be able to help you. The only one that can help you is Jesus Christ. And He died on Calvary's cross for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the only thing we can do is just humble ourselves before God. Funny thing is, you got people out there, and they'll sit up there and say, I'm not afraid of any man. I'm not afraid of anybody. And then you start talking to them about Jesus and they're afraid of what all their buddies are going to say. One of my most favorite treasured memories was working at the Jackson County Fair with Brother Butch Carson and seeing the... had a bunch of gang activity, and people were out there, and they were all talking about there was rumblings around and rumors around there was going to be a fight and everything like that, and they were all over there, and we had this bus where we were presenting the gospel. And I remember Brother Butch walking up, and he said, he walked up to the they were all loitering around there, and he walked up to them, and he said, "Which one of you is the biggest, meanest person here, toughest person here?" And one fella got up, and he said, "I am." And he said, "I dare you to go get on that bus and listen to us preach." And the guy looked back, and he's like, "I'm getting on that bus." He said, "You're scared." And so he took off, and the whole crowd went behind him. And we got up there, and we closed the doors on the bus, and Brother Butch preached for 45. It was just a 5-minute gospel presentation is what we were doing on there, but he preached for 45 minutes. And you know, people looked at him like he was crazy for doing that. It's just the Spirit of God provoking him to go do that. And he went and did that. And we had people that made professions of faith. And the funny thing about it, we're sitting there after everything's open, and we got these decision cards and everything, and people filling them out and getting names and addresses. And you got all these gang members standing outside the bus, writing on each other's backs, writing their names and everything down. And we're sitting there. We've been in there for 45 minutes. And when they all left... And the funny thing was, they all left the fair right after that. And they all left, and the police come up and said, "Are y'all okay?" I'm just simply saying, we don't have to be afraid to share the gospel. People are going to do what they want to do. They're going to try to intimidate. It's the way the devil works. But people need to see folks that are unafraid. Because some people are going to die and go to hell just because they're fearful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the service today. Father, thank you. Lord, I'm not going to give an invitation time. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I just pray you'd help us to realize that if we're saved, that we have nothing to fear. I know emotions and all that, but we don't have to live by that. We can rise above it. We can be afraid in the sense of having the emotion, but we don't have to be overcome by it. We don't have to live by it. We don't have to be ashamed. It doesn't matter what things mankind does. Lord, we don't have to be afraid of them. And I just thank you for that. So Lord, help us to just learn to yield ourselves to your Spirit. Because you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Lord, I just pray that you bless the preaching of your word today. You know what we're afraid of. Lord, help us to see we don't have to be afraid. Help us to live lives that are clear testimonies of the saving grace of our God. Help the world see some folks that are just unafraid. Unashamed. Lord, if there's one that's lost, I pray for them now that you let them see that their fear is going to cost them everything. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Lord, if there's one that needs to be saved, I pray you'd help them by your grace to overcome that fear, to just humble themselves and put their faith and trust in Christ as their Savior. Father, bless this day. Bless each one that's here. Bless each one that listens to the message. Help us to be bold in service to our God. And help us not to be afraid of the world. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you. You're dismissed. And we'll start back up at